710 ESPN, Mason and Ireland gearing up for game three, Lakers-Rockets. We'll have pregame for you at 4 o'clock. We'll walk you right up to it. And then the call of the game at 6 o'clock tonight. John Ireland and Michael Thompson. And joining us right now is one of my favorite radio personalities of all time. Do you have him? The great Keyshawn Johnson. Keyshawn, how you doing, man?
Oh, now all of a sudden I'm one of your favorite radio personalities of all time.
You always have been, Key. Always have been.
Key, you will not be surprised to learn that Mason has not heard even 10 seconds of the new morning show. I listen to it each and every day.
Key,
I can believe that.
Key, the only reason is I don't get up before 9 o'clock in the morning. That's the only reason I miss it.
But we are on tape delay in L.A., so nice try.
Yeah. So, Key, how's the new show? How's it going?
It's good. It's fun. I mean, it's exciting. It's early, but it's so weird because it feels earlier than the morning show in one in L.A. It just felt earlier. I don't know why. It just feels earlier.
What time do you actually go in?
I'm usually in at about 4:30. So I'm usually in about 30 minutes earlier than I was in L.A.
Wow. Yeah, and which, by the way, folks,
different.
Yeah, which means Key is actually going in at 1:30 Pacific time. So if you're up late at night and you're closing the bars, you can picture in your head that Key is just getting to work.
It's a weird deal. You know, I'm watching obviously the Lakers or whatever, Dodgers or whatever, and I'm like getting like 3 hours of sleep because I'm watching the game.
Yeah.
You know, they're going well into midnight here. You know, by the time I really close my eyes, it's 12:30 at night. And I'm up 3 hours later.
We're talking to Keyshawn Johnson. Key, you've done this before because you played, of course, for the Jets and you went to USC. But now that you're doing it when you're older, what's the biggest difference to you between living in New York and living in L.A.?
Well, one is the weather, right?
Right.
You're about to find out.
A huge, huge advantage, L.A. New York is a little more condensed, obviously, because everybody's on top of each other. It's where we're spread out in L.A. People out here really just don't really care about what they look like. They just wake up and they go.
Is that true? People just wake up and go?
Well, it's one of those deals where, you know, in L.A., everything's got to – they go to the gym. Everything's got to be matching. Everything – you know, it's just like so – and I'm from L.A., but it's so superficial in certain sections of the city. Where in New York, it's like everybody kind of looks the same, right? It's like, oh, okay, he's going to work like that. Where you think people in L.A. going to the club after work.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin is the show. Keyshawn Johnson is with us. You know, the most amazing...
But you know the one thing, though, that gets on my damn nerves?
What?
Is the blowing of the horn. Like, why are you blowing horns and you're going nowhere?
Yeah, by the way, that is one of the most annoying things about living in New York City, Key, is that in L.A., nobody lays on their horn. In New York, everybody seems to think their horn does something.
Dude, so this is like within the first week we were here, and I was at the signal light, and the light had literally just changed. Like, it changed, right? And I'm now going to take my foot off the brake and move to the accelerator. By the time I did that, this dude laid on the horn and spat around me. Like, his day was just, like, the worst you've ever seen. And so he did all that to go about 10 yards in front of me to the next signal light. So I called up to the signal light. I looked at him and I lightly said, "You're in the same place I was in and you did all that. We're both going to the same location, basically. And what are you blowing the horn, making all that noise for?" It was just so stupid.
Welcome to New York.
That's New York.
Hey, so, Key, let me ask you about what you expect to see this week with the NFL. We've never had a training camp like this. We've never had no preseason games. We've never had limited tackling. Do you think we're likely to see more scoring, less scoring, more mistakes, more conservative play calls? What do you think the product looks like starting on Thursday and then through this first weekend?
I think you're going to see a little bit of sloppiness. It's sort of the same situation you've seen so far in college football where BYU was the underdog to Navy and they hung 55 on them.
Right.
So, you're going to probably see some of that, where guys are going to miss assignments and tackling, and guys will be breaking tackles and long runs because, you know, they haven't had a chance to do anything remotely close to a simulation of what they've done in the past in terms of preparation.
You know, the amazing thing is that they tested, 45,510 players and personnel last week. That one player tested positive, and seven members of team personnel tested positive. Are you surprised that the NFL has been able to stay so, quote-unquote, clean during this process?
Well, I'm not surprised because they were in training camp. Now, when you go to test a month and a half from now, let me know what the numbers look like then.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you basically didn't have time to kind of hit the streets, you know, you come from practice, you're tired, you want to lay down. There really wasn't anything else to do. And everybody was, it was still relatively new in terms of trying to navigate training camp, make a team, stay out of trouble. Let's see what happens in 6 weeks.
Keyshawn, a lot of people think Baltimore's the team to beat. Others think that they're probably due to take a step back after everything went right last year.
Don't forget about the Rams in the mix.
Well, I'm just curious, who do you think the team's
Mason, you know, when you make stuff, you always throw an egg in the mix. Doesn't mean that the egg is going to work with the ingredients.
Yeah.
Hey, watch this egg. Watch this egg.
Keyshawn, who is the team to beat in the NFL as far as you're concerned?
It's still Kansas City. I think it's still the Chiefs. They won the Super Bowl, so until they get dethroned, they're the team, right? And then when you look at a couple others, obviously there's the New Orleans Saints. There is the Baltimore Ravens, potentially the Pittsburgh Steelers. If Juju Smith could start to play like a number one, if Ben Roethlisberger stays healthy, you still got to look at San Francisco, Seattle. I said New Orleans, the Dallas Cowboys, Green Bay, Minnesota. Those are your cast of characters. Maybe there's an Atlanta that gets it turned around like they did at the end of the year. There's always those cast of characters. What does the New England Patriots look like without Tom Brady and Cam Newton?
So let's talk a little bit about, you said you're staying up and watching Laker games. What do you think you've seen so far? Do you think the Rockets have a shot here?
I think if AD played the way he played, I think all this is going to go through AD, right? It's not going through LeBron because we know what LeBron is. Do we know John's on the call? Do we know what AD is? I mean, like, you know, we know what we saw in game one, which is I'm going to shoot threes, and we know what we saw in game two, which is I'm going to shoot the way that I need to shoot to be effective on a 6'5 guy who's trying to keep me out of the paint. Instead of shooting 14 threes, I'm only going to shoot one, and I'm going to make it, and I'm going to do fallaway on the perimeter. I'm going to back him down. I'm going to be physical a little bit down there. That's the 34-point 15-24 guy that we need.
Keyshawn Johnson is our guest. Key, you've seen the Lakers, you've seen the Clippers. They seem to be heading for a collision course. Who would you favor if that's what it turns out to be in the Western Conference Final?
Right now, as hard as it may sound, and it hurts my heart and aches and pains, but right now I would have to lean toward the Clippers. Just because I see a little more fight in dog in them. You know, guys like Patrick Beverly get on my damn nerves, but that's his job. His job is to be a gnat. His job is to miss a three-point shot, hustle, be a hustle face back down on the other end, pick the pocket of the guard and go back down on the other end and lay it in for two in transition. That's what he does. He gets under your skin. Morris gets under your skin, you know. Harold with the hair gets in your face. It's just one of those type of things where, and then you obviously see Kawhi. I mean, Kawhi's Kawhi. He's so quiet that he can go unnoticed on a night like he had. If it wasn't for his block shot, you probably would be sitting up talking about Paul George's night because mm-hmm. Kawhi is like LeBron. He just does what he does.
So, Shams Charania had just tweeted, Buck star Giannis Antetokounmpo is out for Game 5 versus Miami with the right ankle sprain, so he's not going to play tonight. If this Milwaukee team crashes and burns, like I think it's going to, do you think Giannis winds up staying or does he wind up getting traded?
you know, it's I don't know his personality all that well from the inside, but from the outside looking in, I would think that a guy who's a superstar would want to go somewhere where you can win a championship. His personality, from what people say, is not that's not the case, but things do change. John and Mason, you've watched and covered sports for a very long time, and I always have this argument with people, and you've heard me say it. Superstars don't want to play in small markets. They just that it doesn't work for them. If they're there and they get drafted there, great. But they don't go seek out small markets to play. Russell Westbrook decided to stay in OKC because that was one of those KD type moments that he did, big money, emotional decision. I'm going to stay in OKC. I'm going to show you, opposed to going somewhere else when he had the opportunity. But he did, when he had the opportunity, wind up in Houston. So when you look at it, Giannis is the type of guy that I think, because you can get a Pat Riley selling him with Jimmy Butler down in Miami, or you can get a Steph Curry in a Golden State telling Milwaukee, we'll give you the number two pick. Let's move him and we'll package up some other. We'll give you Wiggins and the number two pick and something else for Giannis. Let's do the deal. That's, you know, that's what you got to watch out for.
All right, last thing for me, Key. I was I thought it was great that you got Bill Belichick to come on your show, and it was obvious that you guys have a history. I assume you worked together when you were both with the Jets. And he was very complimentary of you, but I wondered, after talking with him, do you think the Patriots just kind of pick up where they left off after Tom Brady, or do they take a step back this year?
You know, what is that? What's the subtraction by addition, or addition by
addition by subscription? Yeah,
that deal. That's what you're going to probably see. You're going to see Tom Brady leave and go have a great season down in Tampa, but you're going to see a different type of Cam Newton, Bill Belichick led team, where people are going to say it doesn't look like the Patriots, but they sure are winning games because the way Cam is playing, he's healthy, and how Belichick and Josh McDaniel coaches it up. That's what you're going to see. Hey, you know, everybody wants to, you know, they want to see him be successful, but yet and still there's this little bit of people that want to see it blow up in Belichick's face.
Yeah. Right. Well, he when he was on with you, he came off very likable. And that's a side he doesn't let out very much. He, you know, he's pretty close to the vest. Personally, does he have that side to him? Like, did you guys joke around when you were together?
Oh yeah, yeah. But his joking is kind of like, I would consider it like kind of just blah. You have to have that kind of Seinfeld sense of humor. Like, I can't watch Seinfeld. It does nothing for me.
Right.
But people love it. It's one of the most successful shows ever. But you got to have that type of personality to get the punchlines in Seinfeld. I couldn't. I went to a comedy store with Michelle Beto in LZ, and it was that Seinfeld kind of humor. I got up and left because I couldn't deal with it. And I've been with Bill. I've been with Bill B at dinners and stuff, and you know, you're like, oh, okay, that was somewhat funny, I guess. You know, but I saw him last night on a Subway commercial. So he is opening up. He's on a Subway commercial. I don't know if you guys seen it, where he takes his scissors out and he cuts the guy's sleeves off in the Subway commercial to look like him.
Right.
I thought for him, that was going a long way.
Right. I'm not sure I'm
get there.
I'm not sure I'm right, but I thought what I read about that was a campaign he agreed to do a few years ago, and then he passed on it. That was like the demo spot. Is that spot
really?
Actually right? Yeah, that's what I think happened. Like, they said, here's what we want to do, and we want to run this national campaign, and Belichick goes, nah, I'm not into it. But I'll double check, but I'm not sure. But I thought I completely agree with you. I saw that spot, and I went, wow, he should have been showing this side of him a long time ago. This is really, like, good and funny.
He should have opened up. But maybe Cam's getting him to open up. Cam,
there you go.
Fun. You know,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
Hey, one last thing for you, Key. One last thing for you. How about my Rams? What do you think this year?
What do you mean? What do I
think? How are they going to be?
I think they're 9-7, Key.
What does the rest of the National Football League think?
You tell me. You're in the league.
They're below 500.
Ooh.
Key.
I think they're 7-9 team.
Key. Key.
I think they're seven and nine.
No, no. I think they're ten and six.
Are they better than San Francisco?
I think San Francisco's going to take a big Super Bowl hangover back.
That's not what I asked.
I think San Francisco's going to finish 8-8. I think they're a 500 team.
Question: are they better than San Francisco?
I think San Francisco's going to go 8-8.
That's not what I asked you, though, Mason. It's a yes or no.
Uh-huh. Are they better than San Francisco? Yes, this year they are.
Okay. Well, you obviously
the team I have in front of the Rams is Seattle. I really like Seattle this year.
Well, Seattle, sneaky Arizona, San Francisco within the division, within the conference, Minnesota, Green Bay, New Orleans, Dallas, Philadelphia.
It's going to be hard to make the playoffs.
Yeah, really tough. Really tough. All right.
Wait. What about my Ravens?
It's okay to take a step back. It's fine.
Key, what about Lamar?
Michael Thompson's here.
Is Lamar going to duplicate what he did last year, Key?
Man, that's going to be hard. Hey, what's up, MT? That's going to be hard too, man.
Yeah.
That's going to be hard, but you know what? If anybody can do it, he can do it because there's, you know, how everybody says a sophomore slump, recipe for disaster, they're going to figure you out. You can't figure that out. That's a hard figure. Because as I said this morning on my show, can I plug it?
Please do, Zubin.
It's great.
I said on our show this morning, I go, the one thing that you got to realize is he's not a quarterback; he's a football player. Mm-hmm. And when you're a football player, that's something special. You know, he's not a quarterbacks. Quarterbacks are Jared Goff. Football players are Lamar Jackson, Cam Newton. Those are football players. So you can do a lot of different things with them. And it's going to be hard to try and figure him out. Really, it is.
Okay, last thing.
Third last thing.
Kansas City versus the field, Key.
The field is going to be interesting. Kansas City is tough, but the field is even better because you got to get into the NFC. Now, remember, if Jimmy G connects with Sanders, Emmanuel Sanders, we may not even be talking about Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes having the Super Bowl win. If Tennessee continues to play hard and not act like they were scared, we may not be having this conversation. You know, so a couple of those playoff games, they had to come from behind. That championship Super Bowl game, that pass, you know, a few yards in front, if he connects, are we having this conversation?
Right.
Or are we saying, damn, they're the Buffalo Bills?
You know, you could have had a better name for your radio show. Couldn't you name it the Key Points?
Why is that better?
No, because I have co-hosts.
Yeah, what about Jay Will and Zubin?
Key is the star.
He is the star. His name comes first.
Zubin? You guys are unbelievable.
You the man. You are LeBron. The rest of them are you know who's.
Hey, by the way, Key, what bet did you lose that you had to wear that UCLA jersey? I know you didn't do that willingly. Did you lose a bet to Jay Will?
Yeah, we bet that when Luka was cooking the Clippers, I think he went for 50 and they won or something.
Yep.
And I said, I think that they're going to clip the Clippers, and me and Susan was like, yeah, we think they're going to beat them. And Jay Will said, no, they're not. And he said, okay, take a bet. And he said, all right, I get to dress y'all how y'all want, and y'all get to dress me how you guys want. And so he went and got me a UCLA, put Zubin in a do-rag, which is a wave cap, you know, typically used in the African-American community.
Yeah.
I never used one.
Well, you ain't – come on, man. And so he came in with the UCLA jersey. When he broke it out, I'm like, this you know what. But as I told him, I go, out of all the UCLA jerseys, you couldn't get me Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Bill Walton, Tyus Edney, O'Banning, Jamal Wilkes, Baron Davis. You give me Kevin Damn Love.
I love Kevin Love. What's wrong with him? He's from Oregon.
Man, if you're going to represent UCLA, Kevin Love's a fine NBA player. Yeah. There's no question about it. But
took them to the Final Four.
They did have one of the top 2-3 players of all time, both in collegiate athletics as well as the NBA, named Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the captain, Luau Sindor before that.
He could have given you Jackie Robinson.
No, he should have given you Ryan Hollins' jersey. Hobo Hollins.
Hobo Hollins.
Big, as I tell Ryan, big for no reason.
Cold
Key. Hey, Key, the show sounds good. Keep it up, man. I'm glad to see you doing so well.
Come back to L.A., man. We miss you. We'll pay you.
Bye.
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 We won't pay him that kind of money.
Yeah.
What do you think he's making?
I'm not going to speculate about how much.
Yes.
I don't know. $5 million a year?
Wow.
$6 million a year? What do you think, John? $6 million a year?
Michael, he will make more this year than you made your entire rookie season as the number one pick.
That's true. I only made $250,000.
Yeah, he's definitely making more than that. Yeah.
Well, that's a week
you're
talking
about. Yeah,
he's
definitely doing better than that.
Clay makes more than that in one game.
Yeah,
I know.
All right, don't forget the show is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin every morning here on 710 ESPN. Coming up next, we will go live to the bubble. Dave McMenamin from ESPN is standing by, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
710 ESPN, Mason and Ireland, we are gearing up for Game 3, a pivotal game in the Western Conference semifinals between the Lakers and the Houston Rockets. Lakers pulled even with a win on Sunday, and we are going live right now to the bubble where Dave McMenamin is standing by. Dave, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Great.
Excited, Dave. Man.
Yeah, we are excited, and we're anxious to see whether or not Game 2 is the same Game 3 is the same as Game 2 or the same as Game 1. I thought the Lakers in the first half, Dave, were excellent defensively. The Rockets kind of figured them out in the third until LeBron took the game over in the fourth. What kind of game do you expect tonight?
Well, yeah, I mean, Lakers fans are not open. Nothing like that third quarter, right? The game.
Right.
Yeah, no, that was devastating.
The Rockets could hit any shot they were hoisting up. You know, I anticipate the Rockets to be playing with a more desperate team. I just think the Lakers are a more talented team, especially with how Russell Westbrook is right now. Clearly, he's not right. If he somehow gets it together, I think it becomes a much tougher series for the Lakers. But the way they were getting Anthony Davis the ball, not just a healthy dose of touches, but getting him the ball on the move, getting him the ball in spots where he can – either go to his turnaround game or go to his dribble drive game, is super effective. And, the nice part about him, like a lot of big men, when he gets going offensively, he seems to up his level defensively. And, I voted for him for Defensive Player of the Year. And so, to me, same idea. You start off with Anthony Davis early, get him going, then, save LeBron late to close, and you hope that you get some guys to make threes in between.
So, I guess that's playoff Rondo, huh? I guess we saw playoff Rondo on Sunday.
Yeah, he was pretty special. I mean, the first quarter alone, right? He played the final 5.5 minutes. He subs in for LeBron James, and in those 5.5 minutes, he gets 3 steals, 6 assists, hits a three to end the quarter, and clearly made his mark. And I don't know if statistically you'll get 10 and 9 and 5 steals from him every game. That's not even necessary. To me, one thing I was mildly shocked at was seeing him pick up James Harden, 65 feet, guarding him in the backcourt and just trying to wear him down a little bit. To me, that is the type of defensive intensity that Avery Bradley brought to this team. And it sounds, maybe elementary, but it literally is contagious when you have when you're out there and you see, a 35-year-old teammate of yours busting his hump defensively, you're like, I better not, ratchet up my own defensive attention here. And, so he brought it on both sides of the ball, and, clearly he's going to be a factor in this series.
We're talking to Dave McMenamin, who is in the bubble, Lakers-Rockets Game 3 tonight. Dave, JaVale McGee only played 8 minutes in Game 2, then he twisted an ankle. Dwight Howard did not play at all.
By the way, he's cleared for tonight, JaVale McGee.
Dave, my question is, how much do you expect to see either one of those guys moving forward after watching two games in this series?
You know, they have had some success with that starting unit, so I don't think you should just abandon JaVale McGee because we know that, you know, Anthony Davis as a small ball five is really special. But I think you keep a low dosage of him. And Frank said the plan in game two was to actually play Dwight Howard, but Markieff Morris came in and played so well that he went away from that plan. Well, I would stick with that, you know, adjusted plan. Like, you don't need to play three centers against this Rockets team. You just don't. So if Davis is going to play the majority of his minutes at center, you can start JaVale, you know, because that unit played so well together. But, you know, you shouldn't be playing Dwight. It's not a knock against Dwight. Just getting the most out of your roster against this competition. And, I would give Markieff Morris another 15, 20 minutes to stretch five and see what he can do.
Dave McMenamin is with us from ESPN. He's in the bubble in Orlando, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Let me ask you about another series. It appears, with Giannis not playing tonight, that Milwaukee is about to crash out of the playoffs. Is Giannis going to re-sign with Milwaukee, or do you think he'll go elsewhere?
You know, Steve, I don't know. I my question is, before we even get to the re-signing, right, because he still has a year left on his contract.
Yes.
Does the Milwaukee Bucks management go to Giannis and his agent, Alex Tsarets, this offseason and say, like, do you know what you're going to do? You know, or do they just say, do whatever you want. We'll wait on your guy. Because this is a major crossroads potentially for that franchise, and if you let him walk for nothing, then what are you doing, right? You have a brand new arena. How are you going to fill it?
Yeah,
he's going to come to see a team whose best player is Chris Middleton. At the same time, you know, Giannis is really a special player on both sides of the ball. He's 25 years old, and you know, maybe you decide, you know what, he deserves as much space and time as he needs. And we'll be here to write him the check as soon as he will accept it. I don't know the answer to that thing. We've seen, you know, the OKC Thunder go through it. We've seen the Cavs go through it, you know, with LeBron and with Kevin Durant. And it stinks to certainly lose a guy for nothing. But trading him prematurely also seems like a really tough position to be in, too. So I just don't know the answer.
Dave McMenamin is with us live from the bubble in Orlando. He'll be there tonight when the Lakers and Rockets play game three. Dave, you've covered LeBron for a long time. You covered him for the entire return to Cleveland and now the 2 years he's been in L.A. I thought the fourth quarter the other night was pretty spectacular, that you're watching a 35-year-old guy completely dominate an NBA game on both ends of the floor. He just simply took the game over. It was obvious who the best player on the court was, and he played 9 minutes in the fourth and ran up numbers across the board all the way. Does it surprise you at all that this guy doesn't seem to age?
Maybe it should, but it doesn't. And so much of it is he's so mentally in tune and engaged when he plays the game. And you can see it in the rare occasion where he gets mic'd up. You know, when they show those packages in terms of what he's pointing out to his teammates, how he's working the ref, how he's going back and forth with the coaching staff throughout the course of a game. Obviously, he has one of the most physically imposing bodies in the history of the game. You know, as he pointed out, you know, thank you, Lord, for that left calf muscle he has, which allows him to spring up for dunks. And still get his head at the rim at age 35 and 17 seasons in the league. And, you know, it's the combination of, you know, the physical gifts and the mental acuity, and then just the desire and will that makes him so special. And I don't really see him slowing down. You know, I'm curious to see, you know, how the final however many years he has left in his career plays out, because, you know, you could give him a heavy dose of touches in the post, and he can probably still come close to leading the league in assists. So, but right now, I mean, we're not talking about slowing down. We're talking about a guy in his prime. And, I mean, again, you know, 35 years old for a basketball player is up there, and 17 years certainly up there. But, you know, Michael Jordan was winning championships at 35, and you know, we'll see if LeBron can do the same thing.
All right. Well, listen, Dave. Oh, let me ask you one last thing. Fill in the blank. Lakers in blank.
Seven.
Yeah, I said it earlier today, Dave. Especially if the Rockets win tonight, I think it's going seven. I completely agree with you. Yeah. By the way, okay, we lied again. One last thing.
Yeah, many last questions.
Dave, best thing about the bubble, worst thing about the bubble. You've been there well over a month now. What's the best thing? What's the worst thing?
Best thing, honestly, fellas, is live basketball, to be in the gym for these games. Worst thing, just the isolation. You know, sure. I spend time with a couple of coworkers, and that's really it. So, but you know, it's okay. We got 5 more weeks of this thing, and we'll see the last team standing. These playoffs have been so good, guys, and I hope it just continues.
All right.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
There's Dave McMenamin from the bubble. Again, we are counting down to tip off. 4 o'clock will be pregame with Alan Sliwa and Michael Thompson, then the call of the game at 6 with John Ireland and Michael Thompson. You'll hear it right here on the home of the Lakers, 710 ESPN. Is it time for Game of Games?
It is time for Game of Games. It's my game today, and then after that we'll get Alan and Michael in here and we'll preview the Game 3 a little bit.
So the Game of Games score right now is Lindsay 2, Ireland 2, Jorge 1, and me 0. Zero
in
September.
Yeah? You have a shot today in this game. We've never played this game before, and I like your chances.
Okay. I will hope for the best. I generally find a way to screw these up, but we will find out. And don't forget, keep on listening. We are giving away that brand-new 2021 Mazda CX-30 on Monday. We've got one final key, the fourth and final key that could start that car. We're giving away on Friday, but you got to pay attention to everything we say all week long. Question from today, tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Know all 5, and you get a $100 gas card and a key that may start the brand new 2021 Mazda CX-30 from John Patterson and OC Mazda, Tustin Mazda, Huntington Beach Mazda. Keep on listening. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Game of Games, Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. Michael Thompson is going to join in for this game.
Yeah.
I hope it's a geography game. That's my forte.
It's not a geography game.
It is Ireland's game today. Lindsay and Ireland each have 2 wins in the month of September. Jorge has 1. I'm scoreless. Michael Thompson has a chance to get on the board today.
All right, here it is. Mike, you watch the great TNT pregame show where they trap Charles Barkley and they make him play who he played for.
Oh, yeah, that is so hilarious.
Okay, so this is, with the NFL starting this week, I have a list of NFL players who have changed teams recently. Oh. I'll give you guys the name. You try to tell me which team the player now plays for. Your name is your buzzer.
Okay.
Michael, so if you know the answer, just say your name. Oh, well, that opens the door for Mace, Lindsay, if you're terrible at this.
Can we Google it?
No Googling.
But
Michael, if nobody speaks up, you might want to give it a guess.
All right.
You know, you just made a guess. All right. Name number 1, Teddy Bridgewater.
Michael. Panthers.
Correct.
Oh,
and Michael Thompson.
Michael may be a ringer in this
starting
game.
Quarterback for the Carolina Panthers.
Michael may be a ringer.
Signed for $66 million over 2 years.
Is that actually true?
I think so, yep.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Michael may be better at this than I thought. All right.
I like to know what guys make.
MT's going to take us to
here
school
we go.
Here. Okay.
Name number 2, Todd Gurley.
Mason.
Michael.
Mason.
Ah!
Atlanta.
Atlanta is correct. And it's 1-1.
Glad he's gone, by the way. Glad he's gone.
Why? He's still good.
All right, name number 3.
Come on, Lindsay.
DeAndre Hopkins.
Michael.
Jason.
Michael.
As Arizona.
Arizona, and Michael's got 2.
That was just a matter of timing.
I'll give that one to Lindsay.
You guys, can I give Lindsay one? Advantage over me being in studio, let me tell you.
That's true. That accentuates the delay. Okay. All right, let's do it this way. Since you do have a huge advantage, and Michael, you have 2, and Mason has 1.
Oh no, it's okay. I don't mind. It's fun.
Well, Lindsay, we'll give you a guess.
No, equality. Women like to be treated just like men.
All right, here we go.
Here we go.
Name number 4.
That's right, Lindsay.
Name number 4, Stephon Diggs.
Mason.
Michael.
Mason.
Buffalo.
Buffalo is correct.
He barely gets the first syllable out before you guys jump in.
Right. Yeah. It's unbelievable. All right, 2-2.
There
All right, here we go. Name number 5, Nick Foles.
Michael.
Mason.
Michael.
Chicago.
Chicago is correct.
I don't stand a chance.
Come on, Lindsay. You know these guys.
Lindsay, I tried to even the scales, and Michael just yelled women's lib or something.
Women's lib.
Exactly. Equality. Gender equality.
All right. 3-2. Michael has the lead. Next name? Jason
Mason.
Mace.
Cowboys.
No.
Michael. Seattle.
No. Lindsay, take a guess.
Well,
Lindsay, who's my favorite team?
I could barely hear it.
Jason Witten. Who's my favorite team?
Raiders.
That's Lindsay's right. On the board.
Lindsay's right, Lindsay. On the board. So now it's Michael 3, me 2, Lindsay 1?
Correct.
Okay.
Okay. Next name. Brandon Cooks.
Mason.
Mace.
Houston Texans.
Correct.
Wow.
How are you doing this, Mace?
Mason's betting on himself. He waits till I say the first name and then he jumps.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to try this approach.
Okay. Next name. Philip Rivers.
Lindsay.
I think Lindsay got that one.
Lindsay. Philip Rivers.
I don't even know Philip Rivers is with.
Well, I can't Western team.
I buzzed in.
I beat you.
Well, Lindsay gets to guess first.
Yeah.
Vikings. I don't know.
No, Vikings is incorrect. Okay. Right. Mace.
But you saw Mace beat me?
I beat you, yeah. Colts.
Colts.
Yeah.
Mason 4, Michael 3, Lindsay 1. Okay.
Yes.
4 left.
Big finish.
Next name, Calais Campbell.
Michael. Baltimore.
Correct.
My team.
Oh, 4-4.
Yeah.
4-4. Lindsay has one.
Calais Campbell's a great guy, by the way.
Yeah.
All right.
Them at Yahoo.
Three more. Next name, Greg Zuerlein.
Michael. Atlanta.
No.
Greg the Leg.
Lindsay just yelled Greg the Leg, and Mason said Mason. Lindsay, was that way? Were you buzzing in?
Yeah, I was buzzing in.
All right, who is it, Lindsay? Where does he play?
Cowboys.
Correct.
Wow, Lindsay. All right,
Mason 4.
Her name is now Greg the Leg? Is that how she's buzzing in?
He's on my fantasy team.
All right. Mason 4, Michael 4, Lindsay 2. Two names left. Next name. Marcus Mariota.
Michael. Yes, I got that. Raiders.
I sure thought Raiders. I got that. That is.
And he's on the injured reserve.
Messed up. Yeah, he got put on injured reserve.
Mace,
1 year, $7 million deal.
Mace, you need this one.
To tie it,
or else Michael wins it.
Oh, God.
The final name. Mm-hmm. The final name. Adrian Peterson.
Michael.
Lindsay.
Mace.
It is the San Francisco 49ers.
Yes.
No, Michael.
I'll let Lindsay have it.
Lindsay.
Didn't he sign with the Redskins?
No, Michael.
Besides, there's no such team as the Redskins.
Oh,
remember?
Yeah, you're right.
All right, I guess since I won, give me my black trophy.
What was the answer?
Why does that have to be black trophy? Do you want to? Where is Adrian Peterson?
Racial
playing,
equality.
Michael?
Exactly. Lions.
Lions is correct.
Lions.
And Michael
what?
Thompson
he signed with the Lions?
Today.
I didn't even know.
Yeah,
that.
He just got cut by the
$1 million salary
football team.
$1 million salary with incentives.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good deal for Detroit.
Yeah, he can still play. He's 35, and he got the body of a 25-year-old. You don't think he could play?
No.
He had 1,000 yards last year, Mace.
Did he have 1,000
yes.
yards? Did
yeah,
he really?
He's not terrible.
65 yards a game. He can still do it.
Yeah.
He's a freak, man. He's like LeBron. He doesn't get old.
He is. By the way, the one thing, do you remember the story,
him and
John?
Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, and then Frank Gore.
All right, so this is a true story about Adrian Peterson. One time, Mason and I are working the ESPYs, and all the famous people are coming through the line. And Mason whispers to me, no matter what, do not stick your hand out to shake hands with Adrian Peterson. Just trust me.
Yep.
Why?
And I looked at Mason like, what's wrong with
you? I had met him previously at a Super Bowl.
Yeah. And Adrian walks by. I go, hey, Adrian, John Ireland. And I stick my hand out. And he takes my hand to shake it, and I swear I thought I broke 3 bones.
No, he squeezes so hard, you think you're breaking bones in your hands.
And I looked at Mason, and I went, I don't know why I didn't believe you. He goes, I tried to warn you.
But doesn't he know he's squeezing that hard?
I think he does. That's his thing.
Mike, then we get him on the air, and I said, I tell that story on the air to Peterson. I said, Mace tried to warn me not to shake hands with you. You have the strongest grip ever. He goes, yeah, my dad taught me when you meet somebody, look them in the eye and give them a firm handshake. I go, firm? You're going to get sued.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to hurt somebody with that handshake.
Wow, yeah, that's too much.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
All right, coming up. So anyway, Michael wins that.
I'm undefeated in your
game. So Michael is even beating me in Game of Games this month?
Michael is ahead of you in September.
Lindsay 2, Ireland 2, MT 1, Jorge 1, me nothing. That's unbelievable.
Why are you so bad at this, Mace?
You're not bad.
I mean, you were good today.
I'm always fairly good, but never good enough to win. I always screw it up.
So you got a losing streak.
I have a terrible
losing
streak.
He doesn't believe in the Tiger Woods second place sucks theory.
Well, I agree with him.
Believe me, I do. I suck.
Well, except Mace, except the Ireland on the PGA Tour, where you're still cashing a big check.
Yeah. That's right. It's true.
All right, coming up next, we will get you ready for Game 3. If you missed the old Sliwa at Sunset We'll get Sliwa in here. We'll get Michael in here. We'll get you ready for Game 3 coming up.
Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. 710 ESPN, Mason and Ireland. It is a segue to pregame with Alan Sliwa and Michael Thompson. Do we have Alan?
Yeah, I think so.
Alan, you're in a different room?
Just a couple rooms over.
Yeah, he might be trying Gus's Fried Chicken for the first time in his life.
Oh, yeah, nice. What do you think? Sliwa, what's your review of Gus's Fried Chicken?
So I'm going to have it. I haven't had it yet. After pregame show, I'll take it down.
You'll take it down after pregame.
All right. So, guys, the all-defensive teams have just been announced. See if you guys can figure it out. First team, second team. Michael, who's on it?
First team, all-NBA teams, right?
Yeah, all defense.
Giannis.
Okay, first team all defense is Giannis
AD.
Gobert,
correct,
and Anthony Davis up front,
correct,
and then in the backcourt is Patrick Beverley.
Second team.
Okay, backcourt is. Let me see who would be in the backcourt. I'm thinking defense. I don't know. I'm stumped on who the guard
is. One of them's playing tomorrow.
I mean,
MT.
Avery Bradley should be on there, but I know he probably not getting enough respect. So one of them's playing tomorrow. Oh, Jimmy Butler.
Nope.
What?
Not on either team.
Wow.
They both play in the Eastern Conference.
Guards. Guards in the East.
Yeah.
Who's good defense?
One is considered.
Oh, Marcus Smart.
Yep.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guard,
one is a very tall guard considered.
Oh, Ben Simmons?
There you go. That's the first team. Giannis, AD, Rudy Gobert, Marcus Smart, and Ben Simmons. The second team is Bam Adebayo, Patrick Beverley, Eric Bledsoe, Kawhi Leonard, and Brooke Lopez. Milwaukee guys.
Wow.
In the 10.
And they're on their way out.
Me and Sedano have been having texting wars over this Miami-Milwaukee series.
Wars, huh?
Texting wars. We've been going at it. All caps.
Wow, that's a fight.
Let me guess.
Sedano's predicting Miami wins the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, and I'm telling you, Miami's in trouble today. If they don't win today, Milwaukee's going to win this series.
No, I told that to Mason at the start of the show. He told me I was crazy.
Nope. Dead and gone.
Because Miami's going to start dead and they're going to start shooting the ball.
Milwaukee is dead and gone. No Giannis tonight. No win.
I hope you're right because I'm a big Pat Riley fan. I'm pulling for Miami. That's my third favorite team in the league.
That's the interesting conversation you guys kept bringing up during the show about Giannis and what the Milwaukee Bucks should do. You know what I never understood? And John, in the offseason, they had a chance at Malcolm Brogdon. They didn't give him the money. They ended up giving the money to Brooke Lopez, and I think George Hill got a contract from them too. That's the one piece that Mace, you mentioned this. They need a guard. And he's only, I think Malcolm Brogdon is maybe 27, somewhere around that age.
He's a 40, 50, 90 guy, right?
He's the one guy that I felt, and there's no guarantee that obviously they'd win a championship anything like that, but man, what a nice piece he was on that team. I don't know what they end up doing, but part of me thinks, when else are you going to get a chance to at least have a shot at winning a championship? I think they take a chance on Giannis, even if they don't know if he's going to come back next year.
Best odds for Giannis Antetokounmpo's next team, according to Sports Betting AG. Miami Heat, plus 300. Toronto Raptors, plus 400. Mm. New Orleans Pelicans, plus 500. Knicks, plus 500. And Philly, plus 500. So Miami the favorite, Toronto the second pick, and then New Orleans, Knicks, and Philly are the third pick tied.
Michael, why do you think he's not leaving after you watch LeBron and KD leave under the exact same circumstances?
He reminds me of a 6'11", 6'7" Damian Lillard. Small market, loyal guy. Doesn't need the spotlight.
I agree with you.
He just looks like that kind of guy. He's just going to stick around and try to make it work where he was drafted. He has that same Damian Lillard's approach, I think. So I don't think he's going to leave. By the way, speaking of the MVP, he's going to win the MVP for the second time.
Yep.
This will not – when they lose today, I hope. Let's say they lose this series. He will be the ninth MVP with no ring. Can you guys tell me who the other eight are? I'll give you some hints. Let's see. One – One of them is white. The rest of them are brothers. Right.
Okay.
Well, that's a hint.
Okay,
what,
so
Steve Nash.
I think
Nash is one.
So that's the white guy.
Yes.
Derrick Rose is on there.
Very good. Very good. I didn't think you would get that
Karl Malone, Charles Barkley.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you guys are good at this. Nash, Malone, Barkley, Rose.
That also didn't win a chip.
Yeah.
Didn't Michael, win
there
a
are
chip.
Three left.
Are most of these guys modern or that?
Yeah, modern.
Did Dominique ever win an MVP?
No.
Somebody who won an MVP
has not won a championship yet.
Has not won a championship yet.
Harden. James Harden.
Oh, James Harden.
Russell Westbrook.
Yeah. Russell Westbrook. And mm-hmm. who's the last guy?
I know who it is. Ooh. It's Iverson.
That's right. Oh,
nice pull.
Yeah, you guys got 64 MVP awards handed out. 9 players have not validated that prestigious award with a ring.
Hmm. Good one. I like that.
Yeah.
How you feeling about tonight, Alan?
You know, actually, I feel
you
like
seem
Lakers.
Nervous.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
What was my prediction for game 2? Remember, Sligo, how many points?
You said Lakers by 8.
And what was the score?
Lakers by 8.
Ooh.
Had some people on Twitter pointing that one out.
Ooh.
Just to remind Ireland, you know, and Mason over here.
Steve, I do feel, just from a talent perspective, eventually Lakers are going to start taking control of this series. I do think it
Why
starts tonight.
Why do you look
tonight.
So nervous? You look nervous.
Yeah, you know.
You were like sweating
you have that
a little
nervous,
bit on your face. You were sweating a little bit on like drivelets
about,
coming down your face.
How about when they lost game 1? After game 1, it was kind of...
I was nervous.
It took a quick second. But I do feel that way. I don't know what Westbrook's going to end up doing. Part of me almost feels like, because he's settling so much for the 3, took 7 threes in the last game, maybe that quad injury is still there.
Oh,
but
don't give me that. Ain't nothing wrong with him. Just because he had a bad game. Oh,
I
hurt.
Don't think he's going to shoot 7 threes.
I was going to say, Michael, why would he take 7 threes? I mean, that's so off of his game.
Because he was open. That's why he had to take them.
Yeah, but wouldn't he just dribble in?
Well, they were sort of like building, as Stan Van Gundy would say, they were building a bleeping wall. I love that quote, by the way. Wasn't that the greatest quote ever? And so he didn't have much driving space. Every time he drove, they cut him off. So mm-hmm. he had to take those. And he's got to take those jumpers if he's open. Otherwise, if he doesn't, he's going to hurt his team.
Michael, why do the Lakers occasionally leave P.J. Tucker or Robert Covington to go double someone other than Harden?
And sometimes they leave a guy.
Because they knock down shots, too.
Yeah, exactly. So if it ain't James Harden, don't go help on anybody. Even if it's Eric Gordon, who's a good driver and who's been hot in this series so far, even if it's him, don't leave the shooters in the corner. Just trust the one-on-one
Those
defender.
Corner threes are just deadly.
Yeah, those guys are like free throws to some of these guys now.
Yeah.
Here's a sassy stat for you, man.
Oh, nice.
P.J. Tucker has over 100 corner threes. He's number 1 in the NBA.
Jeez.
The next closest guy doesn't even have 75.
Wow.
And in the last game, guys, the Rockets attempted 78 shots. 53 of them were threes. So that means 25 twos, 53 threes. And so to your point, Michael, if a guy's driving to the basket
– Yeah.
Just let him go.
No, just defend him as best you can. I mean, and just trust your defense. You're right. But, you know, it's your first instinct is to go help, and you leave a guy open, and then the other guy doesn't rotate to cover you, and that's why House and P.J. Tucker get those open shots in the corner, and Covington, too.
And MT, that's what they want, right? I mean, they are driving the ball only for one purpose,
Suck
to see if somebody
in.
Exactly, just so they can kick it back out. But, John, I think you said it best a little bit earlier. You said if Lakers win tonight, it probably goes 5. If they lose tonight, you expect a 7-game set. And I know it's just game 3, but I can see how this game could have that much of an impact both ways.
The NBA and the NBA Players Association have agreed to push back the October 16th draft, the October 18th free agency period, and the 2021 season, according to Sham Sharani.
So when are they thinking it's going to start now?
Michael, you're hearing it could be as late as February or March, right?
Wow. Because they want fans. That's 40% of the revenue is the gate. So they want fans back in Staples Center. So they said they have to wait until February. They'll wait.
What do they think is going to change in February?
Well, by the time we'll have a vaccine, we're hoping we're getting closer. And by the time fans might be allowed to be coming back in.
You know, we're going to go through a football season where a lot of these places have fans.
Yeah. Right, limited fans.
Yeah.
Right, so maybe they're looking at even trying to get limited fans back.
I keep saying, if Staples Center holds 19, put in 10,000 with masks. Just spread them out. If you could fly on a freaking plane, ride a train next to people with a mask, you can't go to a sporting event and spread out by 6 feet? That makes no sense.
Mace, I don't think they're going to be able to as well, just thinking about how the NBA did the bubble.
Yep.
They only had 8 regular season games left, right? And then they were able to just get right into the postseason. What are they going to do? I mean, I don't think any of these NBA players are going to say, yeah, let's try it again for an 82-game schedule or 70-game schedule. So maybe delaying is exactly what they're going to end up doing.
Yeah, they will.
Yeah, I mean, it would be tough to go back into a bubble.
Yeah, and if they have a bubble, it'll be 4 different places. In Orlando, maybe one in Chicago, one in Vegas, and maybe one out here, or maybe Dallas or something like that is what you're hearing, if it comes to that.
So, John, when would the draft be?
My guess is the draft would be in October or November, Michael.
Probably November, early November now, which is fine if the season won't start until
January. And free agent season would start.
Probably right after that.
Yeah, would run right after the draft and end up until Christmas, maybe.
Yeah, you still have plenty of time.
So Christmas.
Guys will be getting some nice Christmas presents.
And then you start in February.
Yeah, probably February if they can allow fans back in.
What if they can't allow fans back in?
I think they'll still start. Maybe they're probably going to delay it until February anyway. That's what I'm guessing, just to see if somehow maybe fans will be allowed. If not, we'll just start late January, early February.
Yeah. Maybe they're able to do exactly what baseball's doing right now, too, just kind of regionalize it a little bit and put themselves in a position where they don't have to do it in a bubble.
That is actually really smart. They could regionalize it and save those trips across country.
Exactly.
And make sure to combine as many of them as you can so you don't have a bunch of trips cross country.
So you'll play the Warriors 10 times.
Plus, they're on a charter. They're deep cleaning that thing like crazy. By the way, do you hear the elevators here have buttons that say they're self-sanitizing buttons?
I don't believe that for a second.
How are they self-sanitizing buttons?
I still use my elbow.
They still got some kind of sticker.
But, John, why do they say they're self-sanitizing?
I'm sold.
I look at it. It's just a button. There's nothing sanitizing it.
The handle downstairs, too, the actual door handle, just getting into the building, same thing. None of it makes any sense.
It says it's a self-sanitizing doorknob.
It's got some kind of sticker on it, some kind of new sticker. Yeah, I don't know what that does.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just,
I'm not trusting
Perel
it.
Like me.
Elbow's the best answer. Elbow.
Or Perel like me, like I've been doing for 30 years.
Yeah. All right, well, that wraps it up. We are back tomorrow at 1 o'clock sharp with complete reaction to Game 3, which is coming up for you tonight. Also, Matthew Berry will join us. We'll do our weekly fantasy football set. Yeah, it's here. Fantasy football, officially here. We'll get all that for you tomorrow. In the meantime, it's pregame time. Michael Thompson along with Alan Sliwa will walk you right up to tip-off. Game 3, Western Conference Semifinals, Lakers versus Rockets. You'll hear it right here on the home of the Lakers, 710 ESPN.